Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from SIRI, an Alaska Native corporation with operations and investments spanning 5 continents, 45 states, and 2 U.S. territories.
This was a huge win for Alaska's hospitality industry after 2 years of, pandemic madness.
Business owners welcome changes to the state's alcohol restrictions. From Alaska Public Media, this is Statewide News on Alaska News Nightly for Tuesday, May 17th. Good evening, I'm Casey Grove. Also tonight, the University of Alaska boosted faculty pay, but the union wants to keep negotiating.
This is a very puzzling action by President Pitney and the Board of Regents. They seem to think that the mediation is over, and it's not.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Parents, did you know that 1 out of 4 Alaska high school students currently use e-cigarettes? E-cigarettes are easy to use and easy to hide. What teens breathe in and out from e-cigarettes is not safe. It contains cancer-causing chemicals, toxic metals, and nicotine. Nicotine can lead to addiction. It can harm brain development and hurt memory, learning, and attention span. Parents, talk to your teens about vaping. Visit livevapefree at alaskaquitline.com. This message sponsored by the Alaska Tobacco Quitline.
A 40-year-old woman reportedly fell overboard a celebrity solstice cruise ship early this morning near Eldred Rock in Upper Lynn Canal. Coast Guard Petty Officer Allie Blackburn says the captain of the ship reported the incident after a camera showed the woman going overboard about 3 a.m. as the ship sailed from Juneau to Skagway. Blackburn says a Coast Guard helicopter and 2 of its ships searched the area, but the search was called off after about 9 hours without finding the woman. Blackburn told the Associated Press that decision was partially based on an estimated survival time in the water of a little over 6 hours. She says mariners should contact the Coast Guard if they see anyone in the Eldred Rock area about 20 miles south of Haines.
We always like to encourage mariners transiting the area to contact the Coast Guard Sector Anchorage Command Center. They can do that using the Marine Radio Channel 16 if they see anything.
The missing woman has not been publicly identified. The Celebrity Solstice is operated by Celebrity Cruises, can carry up to 3,400 passengers and 1,000 crew. It was on the 4th day of a week-long round-trip cruise from Seattle. The University of Alaska has taken unilateral action to increase salaries for its full-time faculty, despite ongoing federal mediation with the faculty's union on a new collective bargaining agreement. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
The unprecedented contract action was approved by the University of Alaska Board of Regents during a special meeting Monday at the request of UA President Pat Pitney.
This is an unusual step for sure.
Pitney pointed to 2 factors which precipitated the action, starting with the failure of federal mediation to bring the university and the full-time faculty union United Academics, or UNAC, significantly closer together on terms of a new 3-year collective bargaining agreement.
And so last Friday, we declared that we were at impasse.
The second driver is that time is running out to get a new contract approved and funded by the legislature before their session ends Wednesday.
It is the 11th and a half hour.
UA faculty have only received a 1% raise over the last 5 years. And among provisions in the faculty contract submitted to the legislature is a 3.5% salary hike for the new fiscal year, which starts July 1st, followed by 2.5% and 2% raises the following 2 years. Pitney says the increases are consistent with those in other UA employee agreements before the legislature.
UNAC's compensation and benefits position, by contrast, was more than 4 times the level the university is offering. Unsustainable by any standard.
United Academics has adjusted our proposals to try to reach agreement with the help of the federal mediator.
UNAC Chief Negotiator, University of Alaska Fairbanks Math Education Professor Tony Rickard, says the faculty union wants to keep talking.
This is a very puzzling action by President Pitney and the Board of Regents. They seem to think that the mediation is over, and it's not. We mutually agreed to a session that we have yet to have.
Rickard says UNAC will be at the 3rd and final mediation session scheduled for Wednesday.
and we expect the university to be there too.
It's unclear if the university will attend, but UA lead negotiator David Eisenberg told Regents that declaring an impasse only means the university is not legally required to keep negotiating.
That said, obviously, we are going to receive and consider any reasonable proposals from the union.
There's some speculation that a UA faculty contract could be considered by the legislature outside the regular session, but President Pitney said a special session is unlikely in an election year. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
A judge has ordered the board tasked with redrawing Alaska's political boundaries to adopt an interim map that in part pairs Eagle River area House districts into a Senate district. Superior Court Judge Thomas Matthews' decision comes in a second round of challenges to new state redistricting maps. The map that he ordered adopted was the other option the board had considered when it weighed revisions. The board's executive director says the board will ask the state Supreme Court to review Matthews' decision. Matthews said a majority of board members appeared to have adopted, for political reasons, a map splitting the Eagle River area into two Senate districts. Three men were sentenced yesterday for leaving a popular bear viewing platform in Katmai National Park and wading into the river toward brown bears feeding on salmon, according to federal prosecutors. Prosecutors say David Engelman of New Mexico and King Salmon residents Ronald Engelman II and Stephen Thomas waded into Brooks River in the summer of 2018. David Engelman was caught on a live stream camera taking a selfie in front of the bears. The men pleaded guilty and were sentenced to a total of $9,000 in fines, as well as jail time and a year of probation. Park Superintendent Mark Sturm says the incident was concerning.
They're very aggressive among each other, and certainly had a bear shown up in a different location that the individuals in the water wouldn't have seen, or had they approached a bear that was particularly territorial, or even just gotten near a cub and a sow nearby. You know, there's different types of scenarios that could have resulted in a very tragic incident. So we consider ourselves lucky that nothing like that happened.
David and Ronald Engelman were each sentenced to a week in prison. Thomas was sentenced to 10 days. Each of the men will pay $3,000 in fines, and that money will go to the nonprofit Katmai Conservancy, which will distribute it to Park Services. All three are prohibited from entering any national park for a year. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, cruise ships bring tourists and more COVID cases to Southeast.
My son and his wife felt sick yesterday shortly after getting off the boat, and they were both positive.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Alaska employers, did you know there is a no-cost, no-deductible way to bond at-risk employees, including ex-offenders and individuals recovering from drug addictions, even when your own insurer will not provide bonding? Information about Fidelity Bonding is available at your local Alaska Job Center or toll-free at 877-724-2539. Fidelity Bonding through the Alaska Department of Labor is 100% federally funded. This is an equal opportunity program. This message sponsored by the Department of Labor.
Alaska's largest oil producer is trying to block a state commission from publicly releasing information from exploratory drilling in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. ConocoPhillips Alaska is asking a judge to issue an injunction against the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission that would maintain the confidentiality of records the commission has from Conoco's wells in the reserve. In a court filing Friday, Conoco says it has spent tens of millions of dollars exploring in the reserve, a roughly 23-million-acre area on Alaska's North Slope. The leases are on federal land, managed by the Federal Bureau of Land Management, and Conoco says the data from its wells is protected by federal law as proprietary information. But there are overlapping federal and state regulations for the wells, and state law allows for the disclosure of well data 2 years after the completion of a well, which is the case for all of the wells included in the court filing. The Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission is a state agency aimed at protecting the public's interest in producing and conserving natural resources in a way that's safe for people and the environment. It has some regulatory oversight and keeps records from such drilling. Through a spokesperson, the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission said it could not comment on pending litigation. Today's 21-year-olds were just 12 when Soldotna Republican Senator Peter Michicki first started working on rewriting existing restrictions on Alaska's alcohol industry. For a decade, his bill remained in limbo as bar and brewery owners pored over disagreements. But this week, the bill cleared the Alaska legislature. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
Supporters of the bill say it's a long-awaited, much-needed change to how the industry works.
I mean, we were antiquated. We're talking 1986 is the last time this was done.
Doug Hogue of Kenai River Brewing in Soldotna has been watching as the bill made its convoluted way toward the finish line, at times working with Michicki and testifying before the legislature. He's excited about updates to the regulatory approval process. He says applying to the state's Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office for liquor licenses has been somewhat of a nightmare for new businesses.
The rules and everything were so convoluted and so messed up that even the people at AMCO didn't really know what the rules were. So just cleaning that language up and streamlining the licenses, I'm really happy about.
Breweries are growing in popularity in Alaska. The number of breweries in the state was up to 53 in 2021 from just 20 a decade before, according to data from the Brewers Association. And there are more cropping up each year, including in Sterling, where a new operation has plans to join the ranks of four other Central Peninsula operations. The newly greenlit rules will loosen some current restrictions for brewery tap rooms like Hoag's. Those are the tasting rooms where customers can sit and drink the beer that the breweries make. And beginning in 2024, they'll be able to stay open an extra hour until 9 p.m. instead of 8. Breweries can also get up to 4 permits a year to host live music, which is currently banned. Those new rules don't come without trade-offs. One is a controversial provision that limits how many tap rooms are allowed in a municipality based on its population. Before, the rule was one alcohol business license per every 3,000 residents. That's still true for breweries, bars, and distilleries, but for tap rooms, the limit will be much stricter, at one license for every 9,000 residents. Current tap rooms are grandfathered in, and the legislation does say there could be more allowed after 2030. Many brewers like Hogue agree. It's a compromise.
For most small communities, that pretty much shuts down any expansion. So that's something we would like to see, change down the road. But it wasn't something that was worth bagging the whole bill for.
For a city like Soldotna, with fewer than 5,000 residents, the new limits would allow one tap room. But Hogue says Kenai River Brewing Spot could open up, leaving space for another. He'd like to transfer his license to a restaurant license. And under the new regulations, he could do that and still sell the beer he makes in-house. That potential for new business opportunities excites Sarah Oates. She leads CHAR, the statewide association that represents bars in Alaska's hospitality industry.
Another important component of the bill is it not only creates more certainty for businesses and flexibility for businesses, but it also facilitates state proactive education by the state on what the expectations and requirements are of businesses, of consumers.
She says the new rules will also overhaul regulation enforcement so that the penalties for violators more accurately fit the crimes. Michicki and other advocates of the bill cheered Sunday as the Alaska House gave it the thumbs up at a floor session. Oates was there.
I cried. Numerous people in the steering committee cried. But it was also especially emotional because this was a huge win for Alaska's hospitality industry after 2 years of, pandemic madness and uncertainty.
Anchorage Republican Representative James Kaufman carried the bill on the House floor. He called the bill an every interest bill, citing input from across the industry and advocates for public safety.
As a great example for the legislature, factions that started out this process 180 degrees out from each other got to a point where each of them have repeatedly provided formal support on the record.
Now that the bill has cleared the House and Senate, it will head to Governor Mike Dunleavy for final approval. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
A major block in downtown Anchorage will be the site of a massive development project, starting with the demolition of a historic theater. Developer Peach Holdings LLC is expected to spend roughly $200 million to overhaul the city block between 4th and 5th Avenues and F and G Streets. The developer already owns most of the properties on the block, including the 4th Avenue Theater. It anticipates initial construction will start this summer on what it's calling its Block 41 project. At a press conference today about the project, Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson described the vision for what new properties will populate the area.
The project will include Class A commercial office space, a hotel, retail space, housing options, parking, and entertainment venues in the heart of downtown.
Bronson says he believes the development will foster economic growth in downtown Anchorage and serve both residents and tourists. He calls it the biggest private investment in downtown since the 80s. Not everyone is as enthusiastic about the new development as the mayor's office. Trish Neal is board president for the Alaska Association for Historic Preservation. She says she's disappointed that the 4th Avenue Theater is getting torn down to make way for the new developments.
May 31st is going to be the 75th anniversary of the grand opening of the 4th Avenue Theater. And instead of celebrating 75 years, we're going to be celebrating as a funeral for the building. And it's just really sad.
City officials say the theater has a host of internal structural problems, including failing boiler and electrical systems and an open elevator shaft. Mayor Bronson says demolition was the only feasible option for the property.
It has a long history, and we're sensitive to that. But then again, with the asbestos and the lead and the structural issues, it's unfortunate. The artifacts are in great shape. The problem is the structure itself. It's just, you can't, it's beyond repair. We're stuck.
Neal does not buy that argument for demolishing the theater.
You can get an engineer to write any report that you want. And I've gone through this with a couple of different buildings, and when it came down to demolishing, it was like, wow, this building wasn't all that bad.
City officials say they plan to preserve artifacts from the theater, including several murals. The iconic 4th Avenue sign will be taken down, and a copy will be made with more modern fixtures for the new structure. While the developer says initial demolition will start soon, the city did not have an exact timeline for the entire project.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, proud of its ties to Alaska communities since 1977. Learn more at alyeskapipeline.com. NEA Alaska is a professional education association representing over 11,000 of Alaska's dedicated public school employees. NEA Alaska members are united in their commitment to provide an excellent education for every student, regardless of background or zip code. Together, NEA Alaska members work with colleagues, parents, and their communities to build strong public schools that are productive, safe, and welcoming to all. Learn more at neaalaska.org and help NEA Alaska reach, teach, and inspire all Alaska students. This message sponsored by NEA Alaska.
More than 1,200 Alaskans have died from COVID-19 since the pandemic started 2 years ago. The losses have left gaping holes in families and communities around the state. Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan brings us the story of one Wasilla woman who died in February and whose legacy lives on in the kindness she inspired online.
In March, Anchorage resident Gene Akitkun found himself in need of a car seat. It was for his grandniece, who was visiting from Kotlik in western Alaska, and he couldn't afford to buy a new one. So he posted his need on the Anchorage Pay It Forward Facebook group.
Same day answer. That was like one of the quickest I've ever had.
Akitkun has given and taken several other items from the group over the past few years. He says Pay It Forward is a welcome dose of kindness from the sometimes ugly world of social media.
It's supposed to be in each and every human's nature to give something. And when you give something, do not expect anything in return.
The Pay It Forward group was made to perpetuate that spirit. What Akitkun didn't know at the time of his car seat search was that the woman who created the online group had died just weeks before. Deb Lestenkov was a 48-year-old artist from Wasilla. Her family says she was generous and caring, qualities she tried to promote online when she founded the Pay It Forward Facebook group nearly a decade ago. At the time, she had 4 young kids and was constantly looking for clothes, toys, and furniture items for them, says her ex-husband Inakenti Lestenkov. She knew other families could use the help too, and she realized how generous people can be if given the chance, her ex-husband says.
People, if they have usable good stuff, they can still give it away for free instead of having to buy it. So, because people always want to give stuff and, you know, be nice and kind. So That's how she started it.
The group grew quickly. It has more than 15,000 members now and posts nearly every day from people giving or asking. No money exchanges hands. Recent posts range from an Alaskan offering 10-pound bags of potatoes to a woman asking for a prom dress for her niece to someone needing help changing a flat tire at the Diamond Mall parking lot. Lesenkov moderated the group for years, organizing Christmas gift drives or establishing hygiene rules when COVID started. She also started another group with the same mission for the Mat-Su area. Then, this February, she caught COVID-19. At first, she wasn't worried, says her 27-year-old son, Jesse Lesenkov.
Because she had been, fully vaccinated prior to it. And, we had had COVID run in the household prior, and she had been absolutely fine.
But even vaccinated, she was still at high risk for serious illness from COVID. That's because she'd long suffered from chronic kidney disease and had two kidney transplants. This winter, her four kids, including Jesse, watched her get sicker and sicker from COVID as they tried to care for her at home.
She was just kind of saying nonsensical things, and it was pretty just consistent. And so eventually, we called paramedics, and they had stated they came to the house and, they administered her oxygen.
A week later, a post on Pay It Forward announced that Deb Lesenkov had died. She left behind her kids, a nearly completed degree in social work, and her unfinished art shop. That shop was scheduled to open the same day she was admitted to the hospital. After she died, her kids finished hanging her paintings on the walls and opened the shop in a strip mall on the side of the park's highway, just for a few weekends. They said it's what she would have wanted. Saturday was the shop's last day. On this clear, cool afternoon, Innocenti and Jesse and Jesse's sister Anna helped a few final customers. A guestbook in the entryway is filled with memories from Lesenkov's friends, classmates, and even from the Alaska Sea Life Center, which she donated to. Her son, Jesse, says he hopes her kindness and generosity live on through the Facebook groups as Alaskans continue to help each other out.
I think she would like, not just for her artwork to be known, but I guess just her caring and giving spirit, just to continue to help the community around her.
In other words, to inspire people to keep paying it forward. Reporting in Wasilla, I'm Lex Trenin.
Hanes welcomed its first large cruise ships in September 2019 last week. It marks the start of what could be a record-breaking cruise season for Upper Lynn Canal communities. But with little public data about COVID-19 cases on ships, some community members worry that the ships could also bring a surge in coronavirus cases. KHNS's Corinne Smith reports.
A crowd gathered at the Hanes cruise ship dock to welcome the first big ship since 2019, including the Hanes High School Band, the Chilkat Dancers, borough officials, tour operators, and residents out to see the celebration. Deputy Mayor Cheryl Stickler welcomed the passengers of the Royal Caribbean ship, the Serenade of the Seas.
You are the first large cruise ship we've been able to host since September 18th, 2019. That's only 967 days, or 2 years, 7 months, and 24 days. Welcome. Welcome, Serenade of the Seas.
The 960-foot ship, with room for 2,500 passengers, is also the first Royal Caribbean vessel to tie up in Hanes since the early 2000s. The Serenade's captain, Chell Nordmo, thanked borough officials as they exchanged gifts, a model of the ship and a plaque commemorating the Serenade's first-ever visit to Hanes.
Thank you for your warm welcome and hospitality during this inaugural call to Hanes, and we are very excited for the opportunity to showcase this beautiful part of the world, not only to our guests, but also to our crew members who proudly represent 54 nationalities from around the globe.
The Chilkat Dancers, made up of a multi-generational group from kids to grandparents, wear traditional regalia and perform several songs and dances. Hanes resident Janine Ward is a dock representative with Alaska Mountain Guides, overseeing lines of tourists boarding buses for evening excursions.
I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to this summer and
hopefully it brings a lot of revenue for the town of Haines.
Haines bookstore owner Amy Kane says after more than 2 years of pandemic and small or no cruise ships, it's a much-needed boost to small businesses like hers.
So it was challenging to build up for it and to find staff for it, but I'm glad I made it. I feel like I just made it to the starting line, really, after 2 years.
But Kane says she's concerned that cruise passengers could bring a surge in COVID-19 cases to small communities like Haines.
It's definitely nerve-wracking because, yeah, people, I mean, just travelers in general pose a higher risk. Having more people here, having, you know, the town size population double in one day or whatever, depending on how full the ships are, is a lot. I do feel like we're going to see a spike in numbers.
A Royal Caribbean spokesperson said in an email that the cruise line requires passengers ages 12 and older to be vaccinated and show a negative PCR test before sailing. Children younger than 12 are required to test twice. And all crew are required to be vaccinated. But that doesn't mean the ships are COVID-free. On Monday, Serenade of the Seas passenger Jim Gettler of Washington State contacted KHNS after his son and daughter-in-law tested positive for COVID-19.
Saturday night, my partner and I, we just tested just in general. We carried some antigen tests with us. We were negative. My son and his wife felt sick yesterday shortly after getting off the boat. And they tested themselves, and they were both positive.
Royal Caribbean did not respond to inquiries about how many passengers tested positive on this Serenade sailing. Cruise lines are required to report COVID data to state authorities, but little data is publicly available. Gettler says his son reported his positive results to the cruise line, and Royal Caribbean is offering to reimburse COVID-positive passengers for meals after their cruise up to $100 per day, not exceeding 10 days. Royal Caribbean did not respond to requests for comment. Haines Tourism Director Stephen Ock says the cruise lines have agreements with port communities that include COVID protocols, sanitation requirements, and a commitment that if there is an outbreak, passengers would be medevaced to Seattle. Ock says Haines does not have COVID requirements, but local businesses and residents can take precautionary measures.
If you look at the operators, a lot of them are requiring masking on the buses for transportation. So, every business has its own opportunity to take whatever steps it feels is necessary.
Ock echoed state public health officials who recommend COVID vaccinations, masking indoors, and social distancing where possible. In Haines, I'm Corinne Smith.
That's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org and wherever you get your podcasts. We had reports tonight from Corinne Smith in Haines, Dan Bross in Fairbanks, Izzy Ross in Dillingham, Sabine Pooks in Kenai, Wesley Early in Anchorage, and Lex Trinan in Wasilla. If you want to send us a news tip, question, or comment, email us at news@alaskapublic.org. Our audio engineer is Tobin Shelby. Katie Anastas is our producer. And I'm Casey Grove. Good night.
On June 11th, Alaska will have the first round of a special election to fill the open seat in Congress. Every Alaskan voter will receive a ballot in the mail. In the June 11th primary, you can only vote for one person. The ranking happens later. Pick your favorite candidate, sign, and get a friend to sign as well. Then mail it back. And remember that June 11th is the Pick One primary. This message sponsored by Alaskans for Better Elections.
This is Statewide News on Alaska Public Media.